You are now tuning into Love Frequency, where love grows. So let's go. Welcome, and thank you for checking in before you check out. I'm Naya, your host, and tonight we are doing things just a little bit different. So you may have noticed when you clicked on the episode, it's a little bit longer than what you typically see, but that's because we have special guests with us this evening. Tonight, Love Frequency is turning the spotlight on the Ajanku brothers, creators of Heart Music, the drum series. I cannot wait for y'all to dig into this episode. And I promise you, this is one of those episodes that you're going to have to listen to at least 3, 4, 5 times. There are so many amazing gems to help raise your vibration, to give you hope and encouragement. So I am so excited for you to laugh with us, to reflect with us, and to dig just a little bit deeper. Now, before we jump in, you know how we do. It's been a little while since we had some time together, so I want to check on you. How are you, baby? How is your spirit right now in this moment? And exhale.
Ah, we're ready.
Boom. All right. Well, let's get into it. Can we start with just some introductions? Who are you both?
We go first?
You go first.
Age before beauty. All right. We are the Ajanku brothers. My name is King Salim Akil Kufuo Faulkner Ajanku. I am the son of Kibibi Ajanku and Chikuyu Ajanku, also raised by Kauna Mujaba. And I am a father, an abolitionist, a musician, an artist, a medicine maker, a healer, and my medium is my voice and traditional West African drums, the djembe orchestra to be exact, or more specific. My name is Jumoke Hosei Abdul Aziz Faulkner Ajanku, also the son of Kibibi Ajanku and Chikuyu Ajanku, also raised by Kauna Mujaba. I am also a father, a musician. I am a little more of a dancer than my brother. I'm a visual artist, not in the way of paint and drawing, but more of crafting and creative hand making and building things. And those are the mediums through which I share love. I'm also, a lover, a teacher, I give guidance I take guidance. I'm here to learn as much as teach. His name means everyone loves the child.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, okay. So it's like, yeah.
I'm just going to speak for me. That felt like meditation, just you both saying your names. My gosh. All right, now, this going to be an episode, huh?
Yeah, also both teachers and educators of youth, of all ages as well as adults.
What don't y'all do?
We don't die. We don't die. Touché.
Okay. Well, let's dig in a little bit. Have you all seen an episode specifically? Do you know the Love Frequency Meter? Have you heard about it?
Yes, I have. I did my homework. We come from two different schools. That's why we work well together, because he did all the homework and I did no homework on purpose because I wanted to come with a fresh open canvas. No judgment.
I like how that works. So we're just going to go through it real brief. So on a scale of 1 to 5, whenever I feel like something that immediately causes a reaction, I have to check myself and ask, well, where am I at? So then I know how to move forward. So level 1 is you're numb. You are in that space where you just can't do nothing right now. This is not the time. 2 is
You don't care, you don't know, or you don't give a fuck. It's almost at the point where you're getting ready to just not quit. Numb isn't quitting, it's just pause. Level two is just the frustration of it all. Level three is hopeful or SOS mode. So either you're in a level two and you're hopeful because you're coming out of it, or you're at a level four and it's SOS, I need help because I feel my energy decreasing. Level four is trusting the process. And then five is in love. You are in love with your energy, your space, your frequency, where you are in this moment and the decisions you've been making. So with that, I sure can. So number one is numb. Number two is I don't care, I don't know, and I don't give a fuck. Number three is hopeful or SOS. Depends on the direction you're coming from. Number four is trusting the process. And then five is you're in love. So right now, in this moment, how's your spirit?
That's an interesting way to line it up. And you kind of put me in a space. Like, I've been feeling a bunch of things, right? Like, going on recently, a bunch of changes happening with myself. And I'm actually in a good number four space where I kind of was in the number three. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said I was in that number three space. But I had to come into that space where I'm like, yo, I had to just give some trust to how things were flowing. So I would like to say I'm trusting it. I'm not in love with where it's going yet, but I'm trusting that it's going to go and it's going to get me there. Yeah, I probably have to say I'm in a similar place, probably like vacillating between four and five. Like, I'm definitely trusting the process. And I'm learning to really be in love with that aspect of life. And so it's making me understand and just like savor shit in just a so much like deeper way. It's almost like the same things that I was going through and the same steps that I was taking before. And I might have felt hopeful or almost in an SOS place. Like, as I start to trust the process, I really start to love those processes and understand how fucking like pertinent they are to me being where I am right now, and also maximizing and actualizing my fullest potential. So I'm really like probably in between four and five somewhere, like really in love, but in love with trusting the process. And that shit ain't always easy. You did. So it's like, yeah.
I was going to ask that next too, because one, I think conversations like these are beautiful for more reasons than one, but we are in 2020 in October, approaching voting time. We have everything that's going on in the world, and we have two amazingly accomplished black men who have a high vibration. Explain to me where does it come from?
Within. No. So he says it comes from within. I think a big part of it comes from being allowed to access it and not being turned away from it at a young age. Like, as we were as our energy was starting to grow and expand, our parents also they did a good job of putting us in spaces where we were allowed to be able to experience and feel it out and find where it was comfortable and find where it might not be so comfortable. But we were they gave us enough support to feel like we had somebody behind us, so that if we did need to fall back, we could have somebody to fall back on. So but it allowed us to be able to kind of step out there with our curiosity and check out some things from a very young age, you know, through the arts at first and then in other ways. So I think that had a big part to do with it.
So the soil, the root, was cultivated.
No, I agree with, yes, 100% what Mo was saying. But that safety, though, I think it still goes back to within. Like, because you feel safe to take risks, and because you feel supported, then you can go deep within. If you don't trust what's around you, then you can never really go inside by yourself, because you got to watch all these motherfuckers out here and everything that's happening around. You know what I'm saying? And so I do think it was definitely rooted in that safety and rooted in that, like, level of, like, And when I say safety, I don't mean like financial security or nothing like that. But I mean like safety in ideas. Like we could tell our parents about art and about like far, like riding dragons and shit. And they'd be like, oh, what color was the dragon? Like it'd be like, they go all the way there and tell a story. Like, So it's like that level of safety from a very young age definitely played a part. But I also just like, you related to like everything that's going on in the world around, you know what I'm saying? And how to keep this vibration, right? Like how, like you said, we were two black men with a high vibration and with all this shit happening in the world, like, you know, the voting and all of that, how, right? And Mo took it to the root, is like from the beginning, right? But then also like, not but, and. From that root, it allows you to be able to like, unplug from the matrix a little bit, if you will. Like, that's why we started doing the heart music drumming joint, yo, because we was looking and sitting and talking to each other, and we were like, yo, this shit is fucked up, B. Like, we gotta put a vibe. Like, what can we do? And we decided that, like, we drum. Like, that's what we do to influence our surroundings. And that shit projects out. Like, sound vibrates further than we can even hear. It keeps going, the effects of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like we react to sound waves that we don't even really audibly hear for real. And so like one of the ways that we can help and one of the ways that we keep our vibration up is also through helping. And one of the ways that we help is by drumming. You know what I'm saying? And so that in and of itself is like a give and a receive all at once. In this weird like kind of way, you know?
It kind of sounds like you're alluding to the question I was going to ask. Because there's some people who have that really good cultivated soil. There's others who just don't. So let's say somebody's listening and they're like, well, I ain't have that. So does that mean it doesn't exist for me? Or are there ways that they can express that or cultivate that for themselves?
That just means that it didn't start then. See, I'm 40 years old, so it started 40 years ago for me. It starts now. So you might not feel it the same way at the same point I am 40 years into it, you're gonna be at the beginning. And it absolutely does not mean that you can't do it. It means that you have to just start and be okay with being at the beginning, at a starting point, and cultivating it from there.
I think that too many people like,
I'm being careful. I'm not minimizing. I wanna go on record saying I'm not minimizing anybody's experience, trauma, or live through pain. Like, we are all survivors of many things, right? Like, and so I'm not minimizing anybody's story when I say what I'm about to say, but also often we make up, we create the story behind the story, and then that's what's driving our action. When like, really, it's the story we created surrounding whatever traumatic experience it was. And then we hold on to that, and that becomes our story. And the work is really not in like, whether it's a space or not, because it's a space for all of us. You don't see it though. Like, you gotta know what it is for you and what it means for you and what it feels like, because it's different for everybody. Even me and Mo, it's different for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, any times when we be like mad tight and send each other 5 times a day, fucking talk on the phone all day, and then other moments we don't talk for weeks, months sometimes. It's like a record. And I get that from him. He been doing that shit from when we was little, yo. I used to always seek the approval of like the things around. Like, I'm way more external, yo. Like, I'd be like, yo, he would just do what he was gonna do regardless, like.
It gives me hope, I think. If I would have heard you say that, my first reaction would have been sadness. Like, why do you have that? Nobody gave that to me. But to hear your response, I mean, you don't have to start when you're young. That doesn't mean that it's it for you. You can start right now. And it's based on what you tell yourself. Like, there's more to it than just starting now. It's
gave the shit to us. Like, I watched Moke when he was in, yo, this nigga was in second grade and wasn't doing no, he just wouldn't do no schoolwork, yo. I still remember this shit, yo. The nigga wouldn't do no homework, no classwork. One time my mother went to the school, yo, and all his homework and shit was in his locker. It was done. He just wasn't turning it in, yo. And he was failing, getting in trouble, like all this stuff. And I was like, yo, I thought like he was getting skinned alive. Man, this nigga ended up in private school. I was like, how with the ourselves school. So let me correct that story right there. That was the version he tells us. The truth was, I did have all the homework in my lockers, but none of it was done. I had been doing all the classwork and turning it in. So I was getting in trouble for being finished and just sitting around doing nothing. I would take toys to school with me and have them on my desk, G.I. Joe battles. And the actual last straw was I got to the point where I got bored sitting by myself and started giving other people the answers so somebody else could be finished with.
My mother was standing outside the door
watching me. As soon as I started giving the girl next to me the answers, the door swung open and my mother was standing right there. And I was like, the thing that saved me from getting skinned alive, this is what he'll understand, is the fact that all my work was done. Every piece of work that the teacher had been giving me, I had been doing in the class.
You weren't really challenging
me. Homework. But my point is, he decided that I'm second grade. You feel me? Like, we decide on our reality. And then the universe responds, like, and some of us figure that shit out in second grade, and some of us figure it out at 60, and some get it at 18, 15, 10, 12, 11.
It kind of dovetails nicely into my next question because, you know, this is a podcast where we talk about love. And before I get into my real meaty questions, I want to ask, if you had one sentence to describe love, how would you, or not describe it, to define it? How would you personally define love in one sentence?
One sentence. I want to ask a question about the response before, because when you said that, the sentence came in my mind, and I was like, "Yo, is that really a definition?"
Ooh.
I guess the definition is kind of like in this space right here. I can kind of take a little bit of a license to how I define it and approach putting words to my definition. So I'm going to just do that. I just answered my own question. I got it.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
So we're describing love in one sentence.
Yeah, to define love.
You feel like Jay-Z, I'm jigging on this joke. No look, I don't write nothing.
Just off the dome.
One sentence.
Yeah, I got mine.
But you've been working on this shit forever. You got the Love Frequency podcast.
Same one you said in other podcasts. You gotta have a different one.
I think I got a sentence. I don't know if I'm gonna want to change it, like, because I think that's one of the things about love is that it's ever fucking flowing and moving. It like. But that counts as my sentence. I was just saying that's a thing about love. So you said you wanted to say you were first.
I can say you wanted to first. I'm gonna switch hands. He got his written that. I said mine made for his.
Okay.
But like, true love is one day at a time for the rest of your life. Like, You might feel good about it some days. You might feel bad about it some days. No. But I'm explaining my sentence. My sentence is, true love is one day at a time for the rest of your life.
I like that.
One day at a time for the rest of your life.
I like that.
And that doesn't only speak to romantic relationships. Yeah. That speaks to friendships and parent to child, family. Like, love in so many different levels comes, you know, it's one day at a time for the rest of your life.
That is okay. What you coming with, philosopher number two?
I was trying to find all, like, everything I felt about love, like everything that love makes me feel, and like put it in a sentence to define it. And I was like, love is elusive and fleeting, but constant and secure. While it pushes us to our fullest potential, it protects us from our deepest regret.
The yin and the yang, almost. Well, shit. I'm gonna have to marinate on those.
I'm
gonna be able to split this one and use this audio for a couple episodes. Gosh, because even that one is more than just romantic love.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Because love and romance is not synonymous.
No,
they can be, but they don't. They often are not. I think most often are not. Like most of the people we fuck, we don't love. And many of the people we love, we don't fuck.
Message. Can you rewind that shit? Say that just one more time.
I think most of the
people real.
That we fuck, we don't love. And most of the people we love, we don't fuck.
Damn, I need sound effects. That's my next investment. Golly. Okay, so we're just going to keep segueing real nicely because it's just flowing. So where we are in Love Frequency, we're in cuffing season. So the last few episodes have been about dating, and we're talking about sliding into your DMs. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to need y'all's help with this. We're going to play a game. And the game is, how would you respond? So I'm going to show you a DM.
Okay.
What I need is for, no, we're going to need some alternation. It's a two-parter. One, I need somebody to read the slide out loud. So someone has to read it. Then who doesn't read it has to respond on how they reply. And we got a couple, so we're just going to jump into it. And you can't think too long. You can't overthink it.
I'm reading first.
They're not that bad. They're not that bad. They're not that bad. You guys are the first participants in the Olympics of Love. Good luck. Where we have the Ajanku brothers who are getting ready to shoot their shot. They're about to school you on how to do it right. You ready?
Shoot.
Here we go. Wait, this one is just a read. You don't, well, actually, you can respond to it though.
This girl DM'd me a picture of a couch and then a rug and then pots and pans and a whole bunch of furniture. I said to her, question mark, and she was like, oh, don't mind me. I'm just moving into your DMs. Laughy face, laughy face, laughy face, laughy face, laughy face.
Thank you for the laughy faces.
Yes, I'm going to give them the whole effect.
You're just supposed to read this. This wasn't the first DM, right?
No, you're supposed to respond. How would you respond if somebody DM'd that to you? If she DM'd you a couch, a rug, pots and pans, and a whole bunch of furniture. Then you sent her a question mark, like, what the fuck is this? She said, oh, no, I'm just moving into your DMs.
I said, that's cool. I moved out yesterday. I sent a picture of an empty apartment. Love don't live here anymore.
Okay. Ready for the next one?
Let's go.
Bam.
Basketball. Oops. My basketball. I must have rolled into the DMs by accident. Winky eye, winky eye, winky eye.
Play basketball.
I think this is cute.
That would be my response. Honestly, my response probably would have been straight face, like that face with just the eyes and the straight line mouth. I would have said three of them joints, bing, bing, bing. Mm-hmm. Like, burn. Look at it. That is the equivalent of a Scooby-Doo set. Mm-hmm.
So there's no points for this?
No
points. Okay.
It's like, oh, it's my basketball. Like, yo, nah, shit phony. It's like.
Okay, so let's say it's coming to you.
Yeah.
But would a dude get points for this, you think? Is this an attempt to a female?
I would tell my daughters or my sister if that shit came in their joint that that nigga was a clown. Unless she hoop, she might be like, yo, for real.
Right, unless they play basketball.
Unless she even hoop, right, like, you know? I don't know. But maybe, though, maybe. I never, just for the record, have never ran into nobody's DMs. I never DM'd nobody just off the cuff, ever. Like,
Okay, let's get into the next one then.
How you do that, man? Okay, haha, why? I need your help. Solve for X. Okay, haha, X equals your phone number.
I love y'all's reaction. You like that one?
Very often I've been randomly asked for my phone number, and I would give them 844-5678. Now, in Baltimore City, 844-TI-4 calls time. If you call it 410-TI-4 and you can dial any last four digits. So I probably would throw 410-844 and whatever last four digits came up with a smile and let them call me and then we had a time, shorty.
I'm really upset because there's somebody listening who's gonna try it. Ooh, I'm gonna get that out the next time. Don't do that. This is cute.
Well, if y'all listening, what y'all shouldn't do is try these DMs. Yo, listen. You'll be better just being a creep. And you can't walk up to people in COVID.
Know that if you try these DMs, we're gonna have you on one of these Love Frequency Olympics.
That's an example. I'm gonna think like a nigga will be in DMs for my next response.
Okay, let's get it. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, pretty. Hi. You're so pretty. Eyeballs. You're welcome. LOL. Thanks. Wanna be my new best friend?
What? So, okay, I want to clarify this one, right? This has happened to me a few times. It's almost like they attempt to shoot it and they went for the layup, but that shit didn't all the way. They got nervous and pulled back because this makes no sense. They initiated the conversation and friend zone them in the same breath?
Because it's not a friend zone. It's a phony friend zone. See, best friend is not be my friend. Best friend? That means you want to be my best friend, like you want to walk around my apartment topless and you want fucking like
with the benefits. Yeah, let's go out on a date. Let's meet for dinner.
That's not like Netflix and chill. Friend zone is
Netflix and chill show.
Yeah, friend zone is hey, you so pretty. Oh, you cute too. So and so.
I might see you at the next event. We both hang out in the same place.
Or they be like, what's up with your roommate? Is Naya available? That's friend zone. That's not a friend zone. That's a fake meal.
All right, the next one. Y'all ready? I don't think we have that many more left.
Hey, who are you? Taken. Oh, shit. I forgot people could be friends. I also forgot you could slide back out of my DMs. Oh, yeah, I forgot you a bitch.
I am.
Slide back, shorty. All right. That I am.
Yo.
He tried to holler. She curbed me.
He thought that was effective? Like, this is going to be what seals the deal for me?
That's a classic example of somebody feeling like they're desirable to everybody and nobody should ever turn them down. And they don't know what to do when they get turned down.
So they got some things they need to work on.
Which one got things they need to work on?
I'm not sure. To me, I feel like the person who said taken was direct. So the clapback was, you walked into that.
I forgot people could be friends. Because like, hey, who are you? Like, she was like, taken. Yeah. I mean, you could have read a lot of different ways.
It was a nice try. Like, I understand the attempted shot, but taken stops it. It's done. Oh, my bad. All right, people. Can you see it?
Hey, can you fill out a quick survey?
Hey, can you fill out a quick survey? Yeah, of course.
And there's a picture of an empty contact.
Thoughts?
Back again. That's what's wrong.
Why is it phony?
It's just gimmicky.
This is so gimmicky.
This is probably what vibe. If you like really like, I don't know, it's like if you got good music, then you don't have to have like shiny costumes. The music just rock and speak for itself. Mm. You don't need all that. You just holler. Just talk, you know? Like, and then I should be cool, but like.
Okay, what about this one?
That's how I'm sliding to a girl's DM. Girl, why are you sad and what's wrong?
Yo.
Okay. Now, on to the next one.
I probably would have laughed at that last one so hard that I didn't respond.
Okay, ready? Somebody read this one.
Slide to the left, slide to the right, slide in your DM. Back two steps. Now, cha-cha real slow up my DM.
reverse.
I'm back in.
All right, see, he get that boy face immersion.
Whoever that is, they get some points. You feel me? At least he came with a little song tip. Like, you know, we like the music, yo. As my man, Big Baby Drum, yo. Fuck the drum. I'm the drum fan, yo.
Oh, like, God. Yeah. I like she was
clever, too. Or he was clever. Whoever, the response was clever. Back two steps now, cha-cha. Slow out my DMs. Nigga, reverse.
I'm back in. Yeah.
That's like Uno. And you think you did all the shit. You dropped all these draw twos, sent it all the way around. And the last person to get to right before you.
I'm going to tell you where he messed up.
What he did?
He reversed twice, so he's still on his way back out.
He messed up.
Reverse. I tried to fuck with him.
But he messed
us up. I think he reversed in and just turned around and ready to leave back out. But he didn't leave. He just did like a reverse and like.
Ooh, I can see it from both ways though. Like he was getting ready to walk out. Then he walked back in.
Yeah, he walked back in, then turned back around to leave in case it ain't work.
Well, maybe I can say it like that because she said back two steps. She ain't telling me he had to turn around.
So he had to took two steps straight back.
Reverse.
Now he got to turn back around.
Now he's
out.
Now he's out. Yeah. I heard that.
And there's that.
I give him points. I definitely, he would have got a date for me.
That's the most fun. At least a conversation. It might warrant at least a conversation.
Yeah, that was the most fun. That's fun, definitely.
Ready for the next one?
Yep. You know how much a polar bear weighs? Enough to break the ice. My name's Gabe. That was the worst pickup line ever. I eat ass. What the fuck? I'm sorry. No, my name. What the fuck? Hey, yo, Gabe. No, honestly, I don't know about this as a pickup line, but Gabe sounds like like somebody I want to go drinking with on like a Tuesday night. Gabe sounds like he going to have your Wednesday fucked up in the morning. You going to wake up for your first day.
But your stomach going to be hurt because you was laughing
the whole time you was out with
him. Oh, God. Gabe said he didn't give a damn. The Gabe first one didn't work.
I tried. He asked, what you want to do?
Oh, my gosh.
Just in case you wanted to know, like, dang.
Oh, I had to save that one for the last one because,
He jumped all the way out there, too, because she just clearly said that was the worst pickup line ever.
He was like, well, here's my backup. Here's my pinch hitter. Right. Ooh. Okay. So,
usually we send out. We didn't even get the cover letter yet.
Oh gosh. So So for the Love Olympics, I mean, I think y'all did really well. Because it sounds like there was a common theme. You all weren't really impressed with any of that. So can help our viewers from your perspective understand what's the disconnect when you go to shoot your shot. Like, this is, I guess, from my lens, I see a lot of people, even amid everything going on, people are still posting about love and breakup and heartaches. And the big theme is not finding anybody. But I know so many good people, you know, you energetically you want to connect the pieces. Like, if you just met and you just met, but nobody is taking the next step. So where are we failing, or where's the opportunity?
I think a lot of people spend a lot of time worrying about what somebody else is looking for. So instead of just presenting themselves as themselves, they're trying to fill a role or fill a gap. And that's part of where the disconnect happens in the beginning, because you're trying to show somebody what they want to see instead of just showing yourself. You know what I mean? When you show yourself, you attract somebody that's gonna love you for you, not for what you were showing or what you think they want to see or things like that. So I think that's one part that, be yourself. Like, you don't gotta be what you think somebody wants to see or what you think somebody wants to be with. If they gonna love you, they gonna love you. And y'all can become that together. You know what I mean? Like, or become whatever that is. Y'all can make progress together towards a unified goal. But if you're not being yourself from the beginning, then you trying to wear a mask the entire time, because you move through that entire relationship trying to show that person what it was that you showed them in the beginning. You know what I mean?
Can I elaborate on that real quick, though? Because I have a question.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started this journey, that phrase, just be yourself, was so hard for me to grasp. I didn't know what that was, because I had spent relationship after relationship molding myself to be who I thought they wanted me to be or who they needed me to be. So at the end of every relationship, I have fragmented pieces of who I thought I was mixed with who they told me I should be. Now I don't know what any of it is. Then I jump right into another relationship and it's the same. I'm mixing the same toxins together. So the elixir got thick as fuck. So when you get to a place where you're sitting there and you're like, what they're saying is right, how do you start to figure that out?
It really goes back to the original question. Like, nobody gotta give you permission. It's fucking okay. You could just decide, you know what? I don't wanna do this no more, yo. I can't do this no more. It's all right. Like, I can't do this no more. Nah. And sometimes you gotta not talk to people because you feel strong, and then you fucking talk to these motherfuckers and then you be like second guessing and shit. Man, fuck that. Cut these niggas out. That shit is cancerous, yo. You can't be here. You about to fuck my whole journey up. Be like, no. But it take a while to get there, though. It does take some like really sitting with yourself and having confidence in like who you are and having and like doing some work and like having confidence in the decisions that you're making and just standing behind them shits until they start to work out. Like, yo, you work your plan until your plans start to work. You know what I'm saying? Make your fucking plans and then work them bitches relentlessly. Like, no, confidence is sense of yourself. He said confidence. I want to say trust in yourself. Like, because before you, as you're building the confidence, you have to be able to trust yourself. You know what I mean? And you got to find the trust in yourself, even to listen to yourself instead of others. So, like, I do agree. Spend some time with yourself. Like, if you feel it fragmented, like, nobody can put you together. You have to put you together. And it's okay. You know what I mean? It's okay to take as long as you need to. It's no rush. That's another place. It ain't no rush.
Ain't no rush.
If you got to take a month, you got to take it. Some people, it happens quickly. Some people, it might take years. You know what I mean? Take your time.
And I know, like, me personally, I cannot, like, seek too much advice because it muddles up my own messages that's coming through. Like, I could talk to certain people. I could talk to people, Jamoke. I could talk to Mo. I could talk to certain, like, I could talk, don't get me wrong. But talking through something to hash it out and seeking advice is two different things. And the more people you ask, then the more perspectives you put in the way. And so for me, it's harder for me to hear source when I'm like putting other people's like messaging and like all that other shit in there in the way. You know what I'm saying? And so I tend to like back off and back up and just like be real internal
while I'm trying to make decisions and while I'm trying, it's like cocooning, really. I'm a caterpillar, I'm going into this cocoon, I'm figuring this whole shit out. So when I come up out this joint, I'm flying, yo. So can I speak to the other side for anybody that's like right now we're listening to, like we've been speaking to those who might need the support. I want to speak to those who are, you might be listening to this podcast in the space of trying to get some advice on how to support someone who needs some help. You don't always have to have the answers.
Church.
Sometimes it's okay to be just an ear. When Salim just said a piece just now about how sometimes he has to come talk to me. A lot of times I just listen. I might listen for 30 minutes sometimes. I might listen for 45 minutes. He get up, walk around. I sit there and listen. and a lot of times in just being a person there listening, for him to bounce nothing, he really bouncing it off of himself. When I'm there as a recipient to it's another vibration in the room. Sometimes you need another vibration in the room to help catalyze and allow things to move. Mm. You don't always have to be a vocal vibration. Sometimes you can just be there and a person listening to their own voice talking through something at times can give them a open space. It's bringing vibration to the thoughts that they're having already and allowing them to receive their own thoughts. Sometimes as a supportive space, just being there as an ear and listening and not even saying anything is a very strong place to be in.
I do not want to forget about heart music. I know that that is one of the reasons I brought you all on here. And I love that my audience, as well as your audience, if they are able to tune in, get to know the men behind the music, get to know the spirits and the energy and the vibration behind the music, to know that it goes well beyond what you're giving back to the world in the vibration, in the rhythm. It's the essence, it's the core of who you both are. And it is the soil, it is the neighborhood, the tribe that cultivated that. So I love that they got to get that side of you all before. Because some people only know y'all as one thing, whether that just be an educator or just a performer. There are people who know that you all are multifaceted, but not everybody gets this. So I want to say thank you. But that is really my segue into heart music. You talked a little bit about the inspiration, but where did it come from? What made you push go? And I hear there's a surprise coming soon. I want to know about that too.
Yeah, so heart music is a culmination of Jamoka and I working together across years. We have always drummed together in so many different capacities. And the drum is directly related to the heart. It controls your heartbeat. Like one of the first things we learn to react and to respond to when we're in our mother's stomachs is her heartbeat. When the mama gets excited and that heartbeat start going fast, what the baby start doing? Kicking, moving, stretching,
dancing.
You feel me? Mama getting indigestion and all that. Then she starts to breathe, slow her heart rate down. And what happened?
Baby gets
calm. Baby calms down, right? And so no matter who we are, black, white, poor, young, who, like, it crosses identity, it crosses gender, it crosses, like, all fucking human politics. We respond to the vibration of drums. And when I will take it even a step further and say, like, hand percussion. Skins, organic, wood on skin to hand, skin to skin contact. It's the same thing why we respond in love when we hug. That's why, like, it's skin to skin contact. And that same feeling that comes about when we hug a person, the music can make you feel for yourself as a medium. And so that's why we called it heart music, the drum edition, because we really want to, like, touch the heart of humanity through the vibrational sound of our drums, yo.
That's what's up. So when, how do I listen?
Each and every Sunday, you can catch us live on IG at King Salim Ajanku on IG or Jamoka Ajanku on Facebook, then 6 p.m. every Sunday, but we're coming into the sun setting a little earlier. So follow us for all the updates. Follow us on all platforms, and we'll keep you posted. We also got some real live, like, somebody told me it was an album coming up soon.
What?
A little birdie just told me that a hawk flew over and just whispered in my ear. Yeah.
So let me just make sure I'm clear. Not only are you sharing this weekly in the midst of your busy schedules, because you, as you said, are educators, working remote schedules, making sure you're taking care of other people's babies, but you all have your own families as well. And you're dedicating to still giving back every Sunday. And we get to take a piece of this home, like I can get one and play it whenever I need to just get my vibration right.
Whenever you need to get yourself right, it's Madison Music, and it's gonna be available for the people.
Come on now. So how do we get the album? I want mine.
It's not out yet.
Oh, can we pre-order? That's a thing.
Pre-order is coming mid-November. Pre-order.
Yes.
The album is dropping in December.
So if there was one thing out of everything we've talked about beyond the drop of this album that I can't wait to get my hands on, and I will share the information with you all, is what is one piece of advice in this cuffing season in 2020 that you would give to those that are listening? Who are ready to date? Who are ready to get out there to shoot their shot, to give love a real try?
I think my advice would be, I would say be open. You know, be open to interaction. Like, it's and be clear on what you want so that you can draw in the right things and you can draw in. And if you want more than one thing, be okay with that too. Like, really sit with yourself and figure out what you want and what you need in this time, because life is, like, precious. And we don't really got time to be bullshit. It's out here, motherfuckers out here getting, like, pressured into commitments. And, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people get pressured into relationships that they don't want to be in. And there's plenty of people out here that want to be in relationships that can't get in one. Yo, if you feel pressure, just chill. Yeah. Get with somebody.
I was about to say the same thing. Like,
and
no,
if you want to be, just chill.
I know. And I'm going to say this. I know we inside, you're not coming across as many people in direct contact, but don't feel like you need to jump on the first person that makes themselves available to you. You know, patience is still okay. You know, and look for who it is and what it is that you want to have in your life to make you feel right. You know what I mean? It ain't no rush. Be open, but at the same time, you don't got to take the first one that presents themselves to you.
Hell yeah. So before we close out, I want you both to share again, where can we find you on social media?
At King Salima John Cole on Instagram. And at Jamoke at John Cole on Facebook.
And Heart Music happens every
Sunday.
Okay, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Eastern time.
Yes. So I also want you to share, or if you can just read, what's on your sweaters. You both came looking real sharp with the matching sweaters on. So we got to shout out. What is this?
Shout out to the homie Curtis and Be More. Humanity can be the cure.
Yes.
It's the power to be. Yo, this is Minus the Illusion. And you can follow him as well at Minus the Illusion, yo. Bring your consideration, your humanity, and help us cure the bullshit that's going on in this world. That's what we're talking about. You know what I mean?
I thank y'all so much.
Thank you for doing this.
Until next time, I love you.